Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for April 23rd, 2023 is based on Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Welcoming the Stranger.
An introduction to our gospel reading. The colorful story of Jesus' appearance to two disciples on the road to Emmaus answers the question of how Jesus is to be recognized among us. Here, he is revealed through the scriptures and in the breaking of bread. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now, on that same day, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of them who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of them as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
He's risen indeed. Alleluia. I did a lot of productive and relaxing things during my week of vacation, but I also used some of my time to binge watch some shows on Netflix. Yeah. One of the things that I binge watched was the docuseries Manhunt, the Boston Marathon Bombing. I know, not the most like lighthearted thing, right, to binge watch, but I did. The docuseries was released earlier this month, probably to build off the momentum of the 2023 Boston Marathon, which happened this past week, and it was the 10-year anniversary of that horrific bombing that occurred in 2013. I watched the series intently as memories of those 4 days of the manhunt unfolded on the screen and in my memory. I was glued to the screen just like I was when it was actually happening. I remembered a lot of the details and the images of those 4 days as they played out on the screen. What I wasn't prepared for in the docuseries were the stories that were shared from survivors and police officers and first responders and even acquaintances of the two bombers. There was an interview early on in the series that broke my heart as the person shared their story. It was an interview of a friend of Zokhar Tsarnaev, the younger of the two bombers, who was in his late teens when he committed these horrendous crimes. This friend recalls that when the bombing happened, he just prayed and prayed that it wasn't committed by a Muslim person. Why was this his prayer? He had been 7 years old when 9/11 happened. And despite being born in America, because he was Muslim, he endured years of hate and profiling from people. And he said in 2013, things were starting to get back to normal for him and his worshiping community. So if a Muslim person was behind the bombing, he feared the hate would return. That just absolutely hurt my heart to hear him say that. Can you imagine hoping and praying that the person who perpetrates a crime doesn't look like you or worship like you because you're afraid of the hateful backlash? I know that has never had to be my prayer. Every time I hear about a mass shooting in the U.S., do you know what is not my first thought? Oh, I hope this isn't a middle-aged white Christian male. Otherwise, people might start cracking down on me and harassing people like me. It's never happened. I've never had to think that. Probably because I haven't had to worry about the backlash like others who are in the minority typically do. While I haven't had to worry about the backlash, I admit that at times I have been and still do at times look at people different from me as a stranger, as maybe someone not to be trusted. Even I do not know them, even if I do not know them as an individual. How often do we base an assumption about someone based on one piece of information about them? Probably more than we care to admit. That stranger, the person who is different from us, the person we don't know, do we fear the strangers in our lives? How are we to approach them and interact with them? See, I can't help but wonder why Jesus appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus as a stranger. But maybe it was to teach the disciples and us a lesson about how we perceive God and how God communicates with us. See, the disciples had just been through a traumatic couple of days. A hasty trial convicts Jesus. He's tortured, crucified on a cross in front of an angry mob. He dies, he's buried, and now his body is missing from the tomb. I'm sure all of these events probably caused quite a bit of a stir amongst the people of Jerusalem. And yet, as these two people are walking down the road, a stranger approaches them and asks them what they're talking about. The stranger seems to not know about all of the commotion that has just happened over the last couple of days. Normally for me, this would be a red flag. I think back to something like the Boston Marathon bombing. Had I lived in Boston and 4 days after the bombing, I was walking down the road with a friend and a stranger came up to me and asked what all this commotion was about, I'll admit I would be pretty highly skeptical of this person. Everyone knew what was going on. And if the person kept following me all the way to my house, I probably would be totally freaked out. I'd run inside and lock all the doors. But the disciples do something different. They put away any preconceived notions about this strange stranger who doesn't seem to know what's going on, and they invite them into their home to stay the night. Definitely not common practice in culture today, but it was a sign of honor 2,000 years ago. Offering hospitality to people, inviting them into your home for food and rest and safety was a way to show compassion to your neighbor and even the stranger. All of my sermon is leading up to this question. Would the disciples have ever noticed Jesus if they would not have had compassion for the stranger? We can't know for sure, but I think Jesus appeared to them as a stranger to teach us and them a lesson. Again, about how we perceive God and how God communicates with us. After they break bread with Jesus, their eyes are opened as to who it is that is joining them at their table. This stranger that they have been walking with and talking with and listening to and have invited into their home for the night is actually Jesus. And once they know it is Jesus, in hindsight, they look back on their trip and remember that, oh yeah, our hearts were burning, weren't they? They were stirring within us when this person was talking to us. They were blessed by the stranger before they even realized it was Jesus. I believe Jesus comes to the disciples as a stranger to remind us that God continues to communicate with us, but it isn't always through grandiose signs like burning bushes or pillars of smoke and fire. God has the ability to speak to us through everyone we meet, even the stranger who we might look at with skepticism, because God resides in each and every one of us. We might not always like the actions or the words of every person we meet, but God still resides in them. And how we treat them matters. Let me say that again. How we treat people in words and actions matter. I'm going to say it a third time. How we treat people matters because God resides in them. And how we treat others is how we treat God. The good news here is that God doesn't take the form that we want God to take. We can't confine God to a single image or a black and white set of rules or any other constraint we try to place on God in order for God to be who we want God to be. Just when we think we have God figured out, God shows up as a stranger. Different than we expected, but still God. And why is that good news? Because God isn't done with us yet. God is still working. God is still revealing more about God's self to us so that we might experience life to the fullest as God intended for us. And in the meantime, as you continue to look for God at work around you, remember that God resides in the stranger. Engage them and see what God might be saying to you. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.